Hello, Larry. This is Michael. My young brother, I am so glad you took the time to send me an email and ask me these questions. God bless you. I'm so happy that at your age, you're seeking God and you feel He's drawing you closer to Him. Because see, if you'll find God at your age and you'll begin to walk with Him and learn His ways, it takes a long time, Larry. But if you start now, my friend, if you stay the course with God and you endure all the sufferings and all the disappointments and all the discouragements along the way, you could be so much farther ahead in your relationship with God than I am now. See, I'm 44 years old and I didn't get the start. Let me turn my music down for 1 second here. Hold on. I didn't get the start that you did at that age. So I'm so proud of you and I'm so happy for you, young man. So you're asking this question. You want to know, how do you surrender school life to Him? That's a great question. Well, the first thing is, the Bible says you have to obey the laws of the land, right? And so part of the law of the land is that you have to go to school. You have to get an education, and I think you need to get one. So you need to continue, obviously, in your schooling and finish, you know, the high school. That's all that's required. Beyond that, it's between you and God. Do you still study? Absolutely. See, because some of the things that you're going to learn in school, some of it you'll never ever use again. You know that. But a lot of things you will use. And what it will do is it teaches you the habit of how to self-learn things, how to teach yourself. So going forward in your life with God, you're going to probably do lots of study about many different subjects, depending upon where God calls you. No matter what, you're going to have to learn a lot about God and His ways and studying His word. So studying in school helps you develop that foundation for doing it. So without a doubt, you want to study in school. Now, the results that you get, you trust God. I have a son who is 1 year older than you. He just turned 16. His name is Tyler. And Tyler has had some learning challenges. He's had struggles with learning math and English. And he might have even had a little bit of dyslexia where he sees letters and numbers a little backwards. So it's been a struggle for him. And he barely just passed many grades and they wanted to hold him back a year and so forth and so on. But I told him, this is what I always told him, son, as long as you do your best is good enough. That if all you did was make enough to pass, I told him I would be proud of him, and that God does not value him by what he makes in school, his grades. God values you by your effort, not your results. The Bible says the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have. In other words, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, God says, through Paul to the church, now finish the work which you began so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched according to your completion of it. For if the gift is acceptable according to what one has, meaning God finds your work acceptable according to what you have, the talents, the knowledge, the resources, your intellectual abilities, it's according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. So in other words, the principle is whatever God has given you, whether it's less or more than others, if you do a good job of giving that back and using that, that means God is pleased with you. Okay, so God gave you the ability to learn. Okay, now I have to tell you, I was not the best student. I really struggled to find joy in school until I got into college. And then all of a sudden I started making the dean's list. I took my studies seriously for the first 2 years of college. Now, you want to start praying and asking Father to give you guidance on your life. This is so important, and I'm so proud of you, Larry. You want to find out from Father, does He even want you to go to college? Everybody in the world, including your parents and friends and maybe other people, will tell you, oh, you have to go to college because why? Well, that's what you do. But maybe God has a different plan for you. You need to find out what God's plan is and really ask Him. And listen, Larry, You're never too young for God to start speaking to you. Even Jesus said, let little children come unto him. So if he was going to allow little children to come, how much more will he speak to a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old? So since you want to know God's plan for your life, he will let you know. But the most important thing is to know that God already has a plan for your life through the teachings of Jesus. There's a lot to learn, Larry. There's a lot to learn about following Jesus, okay? I'm still learning every day, and I spend hours every day studying God's word, and especially for a few years I did, okay? So there's so much. You can never get to the bottom of it. But to get the basics, I want to encourage you to start going through the teachings of Jesus Christ. And remember this. Surrendering to Jesus first and foremost means surrendering your entire heart and your will. That means your desire to do your life the way you want to do it. That's your will. I want to go to the store. I want to buy this shirt. I want to get this job. I want to make this much money. I want to marry this person. Those are all things that are in your will. Okay? So what God is looking for in surrender is for you to surrender your heart to him. So you want to surrender your heart and let God do with your heart and with your life what he sees fit to do. It's not like all of a sudden that you have to just walk away from school, throw away all your clothes, and go live helping homeless people. That's not how it works, man. So I want to make sure you understand that. That could be putting God to the test, and you don't want to do that. If God calls you to do that and makes it crystal clear, then you follow it and you know that although it will be challenging, God will give you grace and he will help you, okay? But chances are, let me tell you how God typically works with people, okay? Typically what God does, Larry, is you're going to have to spend a lot of time in God's school. It's funny you're asking about school. But before God calls you to do anything radical throughout Christian history, God spends years training and developing people. Okay, think about it. When David, King David, was a year older than you, he's anointed king of Israel, right? Samuel anoints him king of Israel. But look at this. It wasn't for another 13 years, actually 14 years or some change, till he's 30 years old until he gets the position. Jesus Christ himself, God spends 30 years preparing him for a 3-year ministry. So one thing you're going to want to know is even if God calls you into a ministry, it's typically not very likely. For most of us, we have to work with our hands and then we live like Jesus in our workplace and we serve God on the fly, however he brings people across our path, okay? But if God were to give you a ministry desire or if he wanted to have a ministry in your life, you could expect God is going to spend years training you. It takes a long time. You're going to have to go through a lot of suffering, a lot of testing. God will test you, okay? This isn't something you need to worry about now. What you need to focus on is learning who Jesus Christ is and allowing God to reveal himself to you, Larry, over time through his teachings. And so what'll happen is when you start to go through the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you start to really slowly meditate on them and ask, Lord, I want to know what this means and how to obey it when it's appropriate, okay? You can't obey directly all of Jesus' teachings all the time. For example, one of Jesus' teachings in Luke 18 is, or it might be Luke 14, I'm sorry. When you go to a wedding banquet, you don't take the seat of the most honor. You take the seat of the least honor. You find the lowest place so that your friend doesn't come who invited you and says, hey, someone more distinguished than you is here. Now I need you to take this lower seat, and then you're humiliated in front of everybody. Instead, Jesus says, take the lowest seat, and then your friend will come up and ask you to move, and you'll be honored in front of your friends. Now that's something that rarely happens, right? It's rarely going to happen. It's a principle that applies. So you want to start to learn the teachings of Jesus and see how you apply and when you apply these various teachings. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. How many days do you want to be poor in spirit? All the time. That's a teaching you can always follow. Blessed are the merciful. You can always be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. You can always be pure in heart. These are teachings that will always apply. So you want to get to know, what is it that your Lord, the creator of heaven and earth and your maker, what did he teach in order for you to know how to understand him and walk with him and experience his life and presence in your life? Okay, Larry, the most important part of your life is having a relationship with God. God loves you and he wants to make his home with you. And listen, my friend, it is not easy to walk with God, not the right way. It's not, okay? Maybe you've listened to a few of my videos already and you've heard, but it is not easy. The true path of following Jesus is extremely difficult, okay? And you're going to have lots of testing, and you'll have people make fun of you. You'll have family and friends. You'll have perhaps parents turn against you, family members, employers, you name it. Eventually, you'll experience persecution for your love for God. And the more you become like Jesus, the more you're going to experience persecution, because men hate the light that comes with Jesus Christ. The Bible says this is the verdict. The light is coming to the world, but men hated the light and they loved the darkness and were afraid to come in the light for fear that their evil deeds would be exposed. Okay? So you want to know that you're going to have difficult days coming when you follow Jesus, but Jesus will help you in all of it. Larry, he'll test your faith. He'll allow you to go through some difficult things, and that's how God tests your faith, and he strengthens you. And listen, you're not going to go through a lot of really difficult stuff right off the bat. God will give you years to learn how to follow him. He'll let you be tested here and there, but he's not going to hand you over to the dogs your first, you know, few years wanting to know God. He's not going to do that. But there is going to come a time, Larry, keep this message for that day, when God sees that you're ready to be mature. And I don't mean like you're immature. Don't listen to that. But what I mean is spiritually mature. And God will say, okay, are you ready? And all of a sudden it'll come on you and you'll realize, man, my faith is being tested. This is where God is seeing how much weight he can put on your faith. He's testing you to see if he can build something in your life. God looks for people, Larry, that he can give a ministry to. He looks for people that will obey him over anybody else's voice in the world. He looks for people that he can trust that will love him, not money. People that will love the creator, not the creation. He looks for people who will obey him no matter what it costs. Okay, and God will ask you, if it comes down to it, God will ask you to do some things that are hurtful, that don't make sense to anybody else. My friend, it's been this way for 2,000 years of Christian history, okay? If I were you and it were me, you're asking, how do I find time to talk to God and study his word? Larry, I talk to God all the time. I talk to him all the time. It's rare that I'm not talking to God. And what I mean, and I don't mean every second, okay? But God is my one thought. All the time I think about him, Larry. When I'm washing dishes, I'm thinking about Father, or I'm thinking about somebody that I've just talked to about Father and how I can help them. Or I'm always thinking about spiritual matters, because that's what the Holy Spirit is thinking about. His mind is always on things above, and therefore so is mine. Okay, now it took a long time to get to this place. But I think I talk to him throughout my day. When I get up in the morning, I'm making coffee, I start to talk to him. Father, I thank you for this day. And if I'm not feeling so well, I'll say, Lord, you know, I'm not feeling so well this morning. So Lord, I really need extra grace so that I can read and study. When I'm having a hard time concentrating, I'll ask him, Lord, please help me to concentrate on this. I really want to learn this or know this. And my brain's just kind of all over the place. I'll ask him for that. And I constantly depend on Father for everything, Larry. I tell teenagers like you that contact me, you're younger than I am, a lot younger than I am, right? I'm more than twice your age and then some. I'm almost two times your age, right? So watch this. Most of the time, though, I'm younger spiritually than most of the teenagers that contact me. I depend upon Abba. He's my daddy. I depend upon him. I ask him for guidance, and I ask him for grace, and I ask him for forgiveness, and I ask him for help, and I ask him for guidance, and I ask him for, you know, all the things that I need to do what he's asking me to do. Okay? This is how I live as a child, Matthew 18, 3 through 4. Unless you change and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So what I want to tell you is the world's going to want you to grow up, and the world's going to tell you you need to stand on your own two feet and you need to be a self-made man. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and you're the master of your own destiny. And if it's to be, it's up to me. These are the kind of messages that the world believes, okay? And you do need to grow up, and you'll eventually become responsible for yourself in some way. But you need to always stay humble in your heart before God. You need to always stay dependent upon Him. This is the secret, Larry, is humility before God. Always trusting Him. And Larry, I'd give anything if I could just give to you everything I know about God in your heart. If I could just give it to you and just pack it in there and say, here you go, man. Go do this. But the thing about God is, my friend, it takes years and years to learn Him. See, God uses time to sift the goat from the sheep, the tares from the wheat, the Ishmaels from the Isaacs, the false believers from the true believers. God uses time. Luke 8, 13. There's a seed that falls on rock. They receive the word at once with joy, but they only last for a while. When the time of testing or persecution comes, they fall away. See, so God is not going to give you everything you want. I want to tell you this. God is not going to give you everything you want and hope and expect for a long time, Larry. And I know you're like, oh, Mike, that's not what I want to hear. I'm telling you this now so you won't be discouraged when it doesn't happen. It takes years, man. It really does. And it's the most wonderful thing. There's no greater thing you could spend your life on than doing it. Supposing you wanted to be an Olympic athlete. You know how much time you would spend planning? You know how much sacrifice you would make losing out on friends, losing out on going out and partying, eating junk foods? You'd make a huge sacrifice. And in the end, you probably wouldn't win the gold medal because only one person out of, well, I don't know, tens of thousands does, right? Look how much sacrifice you would have given away for your life for that comes to nothing. That comes to nothing. My friend, if you will take that mentality, and you say you want to win a gold medal for Jesus, that you want to train and you want to discipline yourself and you want to train yourself to be godly, my friend, I guarantee you there is no way you will lose. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will never be put to shame. You will know God, Larry, and it's something that will last for your entire lifetime, every single day. Once you know Him, God becomes your greatest spiritual treasure and reality. And no matter what this world brings upon you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, you're going to see, my friend, some really ugly things happen in your lifetime. Some really ugly things. You know, I'm almost 30 years older than you are. I'm 29 years older than you are. So that means I'm going to be gone a long time before you are, God willing, right? You're going to see some things happen in your lifetime, Larry, that are going to be unbelievable, man. With the darkness that's coming upon the earth, with the technology advances, with the wars and the rumors of wars, with just all the chaos and all of the deception and all of man's search for darker and darker meaning behind life, you are going to need to know God in order to make it. You're going to need to know Him. Like have Him have a track record with you of working in your life and you seeing Him come through over and over again for you so that no matter what happens, you can say, I trust my God. I've seen Him. I believe Him. I know He's real. He's sovereign. He's a loving God. He's in control. And I'm not going to worry about what's coming upon the world. Larry, I am afraid your generation is going to need a much higher level of faith than even my generation is. And it's already so hard. I hear from thousands of people around the world, Larry, and many of them are complete failures. Their lives are a train wreck. They married the wrong person. They took the wrong drugs. They went down the wrong road. They stayed in sin too long. They made unwise choices. They got ahead of God. They didn't wait for His counsel. And they've ruined their lives. And for many of them, it's too late. So I just challenge you that the safe place with God is in the teachings of Christ to begin with. John 21 through 23. Jesus said these words. Memorize these words, Larry, and let them sink into your heart. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he, Larry, if you have them and you obey them, he's talking about you. Whoever, you are a whoever. You get to choose whether or not you're going to do God's will in your life. Okay? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. Larry, let that be you. God will show himself to you. All right? Don't get too worked up about, you know, oh my goodness, can I follow God and go to school? Do I have to stop studying? No, you want to keep doing those things. Don't let the devil or your own imagination get you out on some radical thing that makes you feel like at 15 years old, you got to pack up your backpack and head to China. No, you don't. Okay? You need to follow God's will. Now, he has been known to call people sometimes young, but it's rare. It's very, very rare. Throughout Christian history, God typically deals with people in their 30s. David didn't start till he was 30. Joseph didn't get started till he was 30. Paul would have been at least that age. Jesus was that age. John the Baptist was that age. So God's going to look to grow you up and mature you. And you should expect that if God were going to do something significant in your life, you got a good long ways for it to happen. But use this time to get to know him. Don't waste it. Stay away from all the nonsense that's in the world. The devil's going to do everything he can, Larry, to try to get you off of trusting God, to get you to look at this and to be interested in the girls or to go check the video games or to do this entertainment thing or that entertainment thing. Say no to all that stuff because you love God. You can choose those things, Larry. I want to be really clear. God has given you the freedom to go choose those things, so you can. But if you want to be wise and you want to know God and you want to have confidence that when you die, you're going to go spend eternity with him. And if you want your life to measure up and count for the kingdom of God so that you live a life worthy for Jesus Christ, if you don't want to get to the end of your life and get some of the emails that I get, Larry, from people that are in their 60s and 70s and they squandered their entire life, Larry. And they want to know, can I make it? Can I get into God's kingdom by the skin of my teeth? I drank 20 of my best years away. I married the wrong person and 30 years has been flushed down the toilet. I chose this career. I chased money. I lived in bitterness and unforgiveness. Larry, if you could read the emails of adults, people that could be your grandparents that ruined their lives, you don't want to do that. You have an opportunity, and I'm telling you, if any of them could speak to you, they would plead with you and beg you to listen to what I'm telling you, to be wise, to be very wise, okay? God is not going to take every bit of fun out of your life. God is more fun than anything that you've ever thought could be fun in this world. It's difficult, but the day will come if you're willing to pay the price. Think about an Olympic athlete. They are not having fun when they are training. It is painful. It is sacrifice. And they do it hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They sacrifice, Larry, because they want the prize. I'm trying to get you to know there's a much better prize because they're working for a prize that will not last. Even if they get the prize, in 6 months, nobody's going to remember them. Nobody's going to be thinking about them. We might remember them, but nobody's going to be thinking about them. When's the last time you thought of Michael Phelps? Just be honest with yourself. He's the greatest, winningest Olympic athlete in the history of the world. You know what? After he won 8 gold medals, he wanted to kill himself because his life was so miserable. He doesn't have God. Okay? There's nothing that will satisfy you and reward you like being an Olympic champion athlete for Jesus Christ and training yourself to be godly, which has promise for both this life and the life to come. Okay? Think about it every day. Here's my tip for you. Stay reading the Word of God whenever you can. Meditate on the Scriptures. Find some of your favorite promises in God's Word, some of those Scriptures that you feel are really important to you, and memorize them. Begin to memorize God's Word, okay? You want to spend a lot of time starting to memorize them, because it'll be bread for you, and also you can use it against the devil and to encourage other people. You can speak the Word of God to people. Okay? And that has power to it. And you need to learn His promises so that you can anchor your soul in the times of doubt. You're going to need to, as the psalmist says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your word. You have to have the Word of God. The Word of God is where you will make or break. Okay? I could not make it and become where I'm at today with God if it were not for me anchoring myself in God's word. It's the only thing that's kept me, because the devil is too strong for me. My flesh is too strong. The world is too strong. And it's too strong for you, my friend. But if you grab a hold and anchor yourself in your heart to the Word of God, He'll hold you and He'll keep you. And it starts with the teachings of Jesus. Start memorizing the teachings of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. And don't just hear them, but do them. Okay? If you will start memorizing the teachings of Jesus Christ, oh my goodness, Larry, what you could do. Even if it took you 5 years to memorize them all. Okay? And it won't take you that long. But if you memorize there's about 113 actionable teachings of Christ, and I have most of them memorized. I mean, I can remember all the time, chapter and verse. Like, for example, I've already told you wrong one. I said Luke 14, but it's because I'm late at night and I'm pretty confident it's Luke 18:14. I got them backwards. So, and I kind of have like a learning disability. It's hard, but I know the teachings of Christ. They're in my heart. And I can pretty much tell you if Jesus said this word or not. I can tell you if somebody says, did Jesus ever say this? I can pretty much tell you most of them. Okay. So you want to know God's word, all right? And continue to pray. Prayer and the Word of God. Pray the Word of God to Him. When you read the word and you see something that convicts you or something you desire to be like, pray it. Speak it out to God. Pray God's word back to Him. Many times I'll read something and be really touched and encouraged, and I'll say, Father, I want that in my life. Lord God, give me the faith, the strength, or whatever it is for that, okay? And stay humble, trusting Him, and ask Him to teach you His word, okay? My friend, I'll have to go. I'm so thankful you sent me the email. May God richly bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus. May He make His face to shine upon you. May He give you revelation of who you are and who He is to you and who you are to Him. May He increase your understanding of His love. May He give you the strength and the perseverance of Jesus Christ. May He give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you can understand His love for you. And I pray that He gives you knowledge of His will. And I pray that He gives you increased discernment so that you can begin to distinguish what is best and distinguish between right and wrong and good and evil in your life. And I pray that He just gives you a love for Him, because He has such a love for you, Larry. I'm so proud of you as a young man. I'm so thankful for you. And I just pray God's richest blessings upon your life. I hope you'll keep this recording, because perhaps it can be used to encourage you in some dark days that you'll certainly face, because we all do. In order for you to participate in the crown of Christ and the glory of Christ, you have to participate in the sufferings of Christ, Romans 8:17. Okay, and Philippians 1:29. My brother, God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.